Everybody, welcome to another show. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, and I'm your host, Leo Landaverde with Greenland.
And I am Claudine Sharon with the Sharon Law Firm. Good morning.
So good morning. You're so full of fire this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's me, just full of fire.
Just happy, jolly, Claudine.
Happy, jolly.
Full of life. So, hey, thanks for the feedback on last show. We talked about it and just we're building momentum. We're excited about helping business owners be profitable and sustainable. And that's our theme with Claudine. We're all about profit and sustainability.
Yes. And remember, we see things on a daily basis that are things that most people see once or twice in their career.
Right.
And it's interesting because when we talk to people, there's things like we'll be in our office, you know, something will happen. We'll be way up in arms about it and just, you know, oh my goodness, this is happening. And people don't necessarily understand our excitement or our level of enthusiasm about something, but it's largely because what we go through on a daily basis is, what oddball things that people see once or twice in their career. And I know that you deal with that a lot as well, is you're seeing things when you're looking at, you know, the financial side of people's businesses, that you're looking at stuff and you're predicting and foreseeing things that are coming down the road because you have seen it over and over again, that it's to some level predictable, what kind of falls into line with our topic today.
Yes, thank you so much. Which, how fortuitous that you mentioned that right now.
Well, you know, I'm here for, you know.
That's what you do.
I stand and deliver.
So today's show, it's going to be a fun show. Why? So let me read to you today's, basically the subject of today's show is why business forecasting is not just a good idea, but critical to the success of your business. Now, we're going to be diving deeper into that, and you're going to see that the world is changing, and it's changing in many ways, right? Literally and figuratively, but it's definitely changing how technology and automation are changing. Artificial intelligence is changing how we do business, and what in the world of technology says that, you know, Japan is one of those countries that is so far ahead in technology that products that come in Japan, they are obsolete like 2 weeks later. And the U.S. it's almost there. There's so much technology coming out and those disruptive type of technologies that as a business owner, you can't be just minding your business anymore. You know, the days in which, you know, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
Are gone.
Yes.
So while I live in two worlds as an accountant. One is the present. Are we hitting our are we doing what we're supposed to be profitable? While we're doing that, my other half of the brain is thinking about what does the future hold for this industry and this business 2-3 years from now down the road. I'm paid to be a scout,
right?
You know, scout, like, as you know, with the what do you call those things?
Binoculars.
The binoculars, right? Looking into from the top of the hill, looking into what's coming on down the horizon, and we do a fair amount of business forecasting. And it's not just a good idea to give something to the bank if you need to because your covenants, they want to see your pro forma work.
Right.
It's more like, business forecasting is not just a fancy word anymore. It's a matter of survival. So I'm going to read to you some quotes as I was preparing for the show. You know, what people's perception of forecasting is. And listen to this. So those who have knowledge don't predict. I have seen the future and it's very much like the present, only longer. Prediction is very difficult, especially when it's all about the future. The best qualification of a prophet is to have good memory.
That one I like the best. I think that one should be put on the wall.
The best
wall worthy.
Yes, it's wall worthy. If you don't have a target, any target will do. So there are literally thousands of memes out there as far as, you know, people laugh and think it's funny as a joke. For the most part, it's a joke, but you know what comes to mind right now? Do you remember, so I spent most of my professional life in LA.
Right.
When we had, in every corner back in the 90s and 80s, you would see in every corner this Conroy flowers.
Right.
Remember those? Those corner kind of locations when you just flowers for Valentine's, for Mother's Day.
Special occasion, want to brighten up the house.
Where are anything. They?
Gone.
They're I'm gone.
Never, I haven't seen them.
I haven't ever. Seen him. I just thought about it right now. I have other examples that we're going to talk about right now. But what's replaced by what? 1-800 flowers?
Right. I think they're still around.
Who do you call when you want to send a, you know, it's a website. Like there's a 1-800 mattress and there's 1-800 flowers. There's a bunch of other. So this is one example. Before we go get too far down, is what technology can mean for your business, no matter what industry you're in. So we're going to talk about three things today. Financial forecasting, which is something that I do every day. Resources forecasting, what you're going to be able to help me with.
Right.
And industry forecasting.
Yeah.
So.
That's the most difficult, I think, the most obtuse industry forecasting. Because within the industry, there are sub-industries. And there are industries that haven't even been created yet that are right around the corner that are coming, that somebody's going to create. Some niche. So that has got to be the most difficult. It's not the way it used to be.
Things are not the way that they should be. Can you imagine, gosh, you know, hindsight is always 2020, right? When things happened, then you realize, of course, that's kind of how it's supposed to be. But then you don't see it at the time.
I call it the post-it note thought. It's like the post-it note. How did I not think of that? I mean, it's such a simple project or a
right.
product. It's like, how did I not think of the post-it? I mean, for years, we have probably taped, stapled, paper clipped notes to file covers to, you know, everything. And then how did you not think? And so when I see ideas that seem so obvious, but they had not been thought of yet. And I think, God, that's a post-it note idea right there. That was that idea that is so obvious and so straightforward and simple, and yet it had never been thought
of before. Did you think that you didn't know you needed it until you saw it?
Right. But then, of course, you go,
where have you been all my life?
Yes. Where has this been all my life?
All my life when I was in high school and I needed to write notes. So that's, as an immigrant, that's why I love the U.S. This is a country that allows you to come with nothing but a great idea.
Right.
And you execute. This is the country of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have haters all over the world.
Right.
But one thing is clear. The U.S. and a beautiful, you know, the U.S. of A. loves innovation.
And it's in every industry.
And
every industry. I mean, there are people who have been in, you know, the industry of using manual tools. And, you know, not a glamorous industry, but they have thought of some way to make that tool a little better.
And just a little. You know, innovation is just things making things a little better. You know, one thing is to create something out of thin air, but the next best thing is to make something a little bit better.
Yeah. And you think, boy, if this handle was a little longer, you know, I could use this shovel and it wouldn't hurt my back so much. You know, something.
Right,
but,
just little
but,
things.
But straightforward, simple stuff like that.
So you know... What I want you to think about as we go into break is, hey, remember Blockbuster Video?
Yes, I remember. Oh, man. They used to be an account of ours.
Now it's really?
Yeah.
So it used to show up, and now it shows up in movies. It's kind of a relic.
Yeah.
And you know those movies that are like, my kids got into this Stranger Things, right, the show. I watched it, I liked it now. But in the show, the show happens in the 80s.
Okay.
So they have to recreate. Those makes very expensive shows when you have to go a period. We have to go back to the 70s or a certain time of in the past. So you have to recreate everything that you would no longer have.
Right, because you can't
pay phones.
You can't have the Starbucks cup sitting in the background
because
it'll
be out of place, right? It's true. Anyway, so we're going to have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about business forecasting and why it matters to you as a business owner. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. We are here at Power Talk. Having a Power Talk today here. Thank you, iHeartMedia and iHeartRadio. We love being here. Really preaching the gospel of profitability and sustainability.
Yes.
So today, if you just tuned into the show, we're talking about business forecasting and why it's not just a good idea anymore. It's critical. It's vital, I like to say, to the success of your business. So financial forecasting, number one. So it comes down to this. Do I have enough cash to make it down the road?
Never enough, baby.
Never enough, right? But at a more practical level is, how am I ensuring that whether 13 weeks from now, which is one quarter, two quarters, or three quarters from now, I'm going to be in the black, not right. in the red.
Right.
And the sooner you know, 6 months down the road, you're going to be negative, the quicker you can make adjustments so you can never be negative.
Right.
That is the goal.
Right.
So I've said it before. I say it again. My job is very simple. I worry about two things only. Cash and risk. For the risk, I team up with you.
And that's all I worry about.
And that leaves me all alone on the cash.
Right, that does.
So for the cash, is in a simple terms, is one of the things that we do in when we run an accounting department, we want to make sure that we have adequate cash supply. And the cash comes from three different places. Comes from the sales that are being generated that turns into AR, that turns into deposits in the bank,
right?
Or comes from injections of the owners, you know, friends and family. If you raise capital, the founders or private equity, VCs, angels, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's equity type money. And the third one comes from bank financing,
right?
Or asset lending,
right? We've talked
so
about
there's
this.
Three types of cash. No matter which way they come from, you have to be able to have enough cash to pay your accounts payable, your payroll, and everything else that comes. And so what we measure is very simple. So we start with the bank balances. Then we need to know how much cash is being deposited this week. So you go to your account, your AR clerks, and your controller, and hey, controller, tell me how we're doing with our cash. How much money do we expect to collect this week, next week, the following weeks, as far as into the future as you can? And I want to know exactly where is that coming from, what invoices are being paid. So that's the one part. So cash in the bank plus
right.
expected accounts receivable being paid, minus accounts payable that we have to pay, minus checks that you've written that haven't cleared the bank. All of that spits out into a 13-week or 26-week rolling cash forecast. At the end of every week, I want to make sure that we are way ahead in the black. So does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. The first thing that comes to mind is the variables. So, because I'm always looking at variables.
Let's talk about variables.
So what are the unknowns? What if business just slows down? Now what? How do we bank against that?
What financial, particularly cash modeling, is all about. So you play with variables.
Right.
So you remember what I was asking, so how much AR do we expect? And then you run out of AR, so in week four, right? And if you, one of the businesses that I love is recurring revenue, right? When you have recurring revenue, for those of you assigned software or licensing agreements, so where you expect a payment every month, you can actually predict that into the future. What
right.
happens if you just sell widgets? What happens if you don't have, like, even in your world, right?
We sell hours.
You sell hours, but you don't know how many hours you're going to have a month from now.
That's right.
There is a system in place to create those meetings that turn into billable events, right? So, but what are the variables? So yes, let's say you forecast that you're going to have $40,000 worth of, you need to raise $40,000 worth of cash to meet your expectations for this month. What if the money doesn't come from sales? What do you do?
Well, then you start looking at borrowing.
You're looking at borrowing.
Which is when the sales aren't there and you're going to borrow, please beware. That is danger zone.
Yeah. But what is the alternative? You sell part of your company. Equity. That's even more dangerous depending on the situation.
Yes, way more.
So the best way to get your cash is to generate more sales, right? We live on the Delta as business owners. I am a business owner. You are a business owner. And who is our audience? Our audience is those who own a business, who want to grow a business. That's our audience. The business owners, the entrepreneurs, and even those who are thinking about starting a business because you can go eyes wide open.
Right.
But we live in the Delta of sales minus expenses equal net profit.
Right.
Whichever way you see it, whether you have cost of goods sold or not, you have sales minus expenses equals net income. There are many things that can happen in a business. You may have thought, you know, one of the things, the item number two in our agenda is resource forecasting. Say you're banking, you're going to have all this business coming down the road 6 months from now, and you have all this, you know, you have this, we call it the sales pipeline. You have all these leads that you're following up on, and it could be jobs from 10,000, 3,000, 400,000, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You're banking all this stuff to come to fruition. Well, what if it doesn't? And then you hire all these people. So those are variables that are being exercised. So now, you cannot just do this exercise once a month. You got to be looking at your cash every week, right? I tell business owners, you got to look at your cash forecasting every week. I don't care who does it. Somebody has to do it. Either you do it or somebody else will do it. If you don't feel comfortable doing it yourself, outsource it.
Right.
But they cannot. You know, I was, it was interesting. I was listening to a podcast on the way here, you know, to recording of the show. This is a business consultant saying, you know, everything is being commoditized in the world today. Remember that whole thing about everything automation at the beginning
yes.
of the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Even my world in accounting, it's being faced with this. You know, remember, I take my own I take my own Kool-Aid. Basically, I drink my own Kool-Aid. What I prescribe to clients is you got to be looking into your industry. What does it look like in the future? I do the same right. for us. I'm in accounting and finance. And one of the things that we do is bookkeeping. You know, there is dozens of companies that are coming up that are funded by VCs, venture capital, or angel investors. These revolutionary, disruptive companies who promise that they can actually do your books in minutes because of robotic machine learning.
Really? I have not heard of this.
Bookkeeping is being revolutionized. It's turning into a commodity. What used to be you know, you got to have somebody with, you know, with the education and you know, the training
right,
and the
right.
foresight and the knowledge and the software, this and that. It's going away.
Algorithms.
Into algorithms. So if I'm not careful as a business owner, if all you did is bookkeeping and you offer nothing else, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, okay.
This machine whole learning comes through. And that same can be said about other industries as well, but we're just scratching the surface. What were you going to say? Claudine?
Well, I was just thinking that there is, I suppose, from my mind, of course, I don't do bookkeeping. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I am at all, by the way.
Zero.
Zero. But I suppose that there's, on some extent, there's a level of bookkeeping that can be automated. Okay, so.
I will agree with that.
Track receipts. Okay, great. You track the spending, track the money coming in. And at the end of the day, there's, you know, each column has a number at the bottom of it. But the bookkeeping, from my perspective, is so much of the strategy foundation. And so there's a lot more that happens with bookkeeping that it surprises me that this is going towards an automation. It would make me panic thinking
yes, you're right. But I saw this coming years ago.
Really?
Even before I started, because I come from the world of consulting and advisory. We had just added the bookkeeping portion of it, you know, a few years ago. But at heart, I've always been in the advisory side. So what is not going away is the brain, the thinking, strategy.
Yeah, strategy.
You cannot outsource your brain.
You can't. Now, and there is strategy. And the bookkeeping is the fuel, the engine for that strategy.
Now, we need the set of books to be able to do the things that we do. But the point is this. You got to be thinking about, so we're getting into this, you know, the industry forecasting sort of thing. Remember, I was listening to this guy on the podcast, and he said that there was this guy who, he says, is also another accountant who coaches accountants.
Right.
So I'm listening to him. He says that he had somebody that called him. He says, how do you combat this? So this is this relationship with this accountant and a business owner who's been going on apparently for 5 years. And the business owner, so whatever happened between the accountant and the business owner, it's not clear, but the accountant says, hey, I have a question. So my I've been working with my my client for 5 years and doing exactly the same thing every year. And the client said, well, you know, by now you should know my books and my what I do very well. So because it should take you less time, you should charge me less. So as a thank you for all the work apparently the accountant is doing, now the client wants a discount. So there's a lot of things, bells and whistles that go with that for me, right?
Right.
So he said, at which point our industry has become commoditized, that you trade hours for dollars. So there's been this movement in the accounting industry to become more of a value add.
Right.
What I started out as a value add and then added other components. Because if you know me from working, you know, from working together and seeing the stuff that I do for clients, is I always tell any prospective client, tell me where you are today, good, bad, and ugly. And tell me where you want to be 5 years from now. And paint as vivid of a picture as you can. And think about the island of here and now and the island of the future where dreams may come. And there is a vast ocean in the middle and you don't have a boat. So you would have to swim across the channel to get to the island of desire where you want to think all the things that you want for your business, the double-digit profitability, enough cash in the banks, and you can sell your business for a million. And I can get you there, and our firm can get you. We are the boat. We put you in the boat, and we take you to that island of desire. And if that meant that you can sell your company for 10 times what it is today, and it sells for $10 million, what is that worth to you?
There's no value. I mean, there's no...
Incalculable.
Yes, yes.
You can't put a dollar.
You can't put a number on it.
But if you're selling your time, and that be weird, you know, there is a whole, it's the whole different thing. You get penalized for being efficient.
That's true. That's true.
So how if... So what happens in whenever you do any work that is... A lot of companies that do work hourly, right? And it applies to, you know, the people that work on the streets, anybody. So because you're going to get paid hourly, might as well take as long as I need to take.
Right.
To achieve the same result. So back to... So I digress. So financial forecasting is you got to know if you have enough money to make it. Not just to make it, but to thrive. I don't get jealous. I get excited when I see customers that have money just falling off their accounts because we're doing something right. I get paid to produce results. You know, one of the things I love about Tony Robbins, whether you love it or hate him,
right?
He says, I have no degrees. I have a PhD in results.
Right.
And it's all about results. If you're producing those results and if you're making money for those you work with, you are a value add. You're not a commodity. So that's financial forecasting, being able to look into the future and see that you have enough cash. But that presupposes that you're staying on top of your all the bills that come in and put them into the system so they turn into accounts payable. And you are recognizing all the revenue that you need to recognize. And you're not leaving any money on the table. True story. A couple of years ago, I started working with a client. And after doing some forensic work, I realized that they were missing about $20,000 worth of billing every month. You would think, how? That's crazy. But once you get to about $300,000-$400,000 a month and you have all this paperwork laying around and you didn't put right. it into the system and you had this progress billing, say $100,000 that was to build, and then you're 5 months later, you have $500,000 you haven't built. So you're grossly underbilled. You just left money on the table. Now it's going to have to backtrack to collect it. But if you're saying you're doing all of that right, you still need to know what is your burn rate. So money is made in the delta of how much you're bringing in, how much you're spending. So if you're burning $100,000 a month, but you're bringing $120,000 consistently every month, you have $20,000 left. So everybody should get paid, and you should have plenty of money in the bank.
Right, except for that's not quite how it works.
But that's not how it works, right?
For everybody who's listening right now going, yeah, that's not quite how it works.
Welcome to the real world, right? So
right.
That's the reason why you and me are in business,
right.
Because we help customers. Because you can have $500,000 in the bank, and you get sued, and you have settlement.
Gone.
It's gone, right?
It's gone.
A lot of those lawsuits, by the way, can be prevented simply by being proactive with the stuff that you do.
That's correct. A lot of things can be prevented. We can definitely use proactive measures to avoid those. And, you know, going back to the original, what we were talking about originally is the variables.
It's the variables, right.
And for us on our side of things, that's what we look at is how can I cannot predict if I have too many variables functioning. So it, right. we either have to close the variable or remove it altogether.
Okay, so we're going to stop right there. We need to go to break. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine, helping you be very, very, very profitable and sustainable. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back. Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, all about profit today.
Oh my gosh.
We are on fire. Welcome to the show. If you're listening, driving to and fro, this show can actually make you money.
You know, honestly, there are times they think this is what is so important about being in business and connecting with other business owners and connecting with other people who are driven in business, whether, you know, for example, you're obviously on the accounting side, I'm obviously on the legal side.
Obviously.
But my point is that we, it's important to interact and have conversation with other people because they will say things that spark ideas in your head. And if there's anything people are out there hearing that is sparking something and you want to know further or you want to talk about it further or you maybe it sparks something in you and it's simply a question or it leads you to think, well, hey, is this possible? You know, definitely give us a call. Definitely give us a call because I learn so much from my clients. I have clients who have been in business 70 plus years. I have clients who have been let me tell you, it takes something to stay in business that long.
That alone is an achievement.
Third generation.
That's an achievement.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, when those folks talk about business and they talk about how they've done things, or we do something a little different. You have to stop and take their words. You have to pause a moment and give credit where credit's due because you know people who have been in business and survived that long, it's not for no reason at all. And I know that was a double negative, but if you are out there and you are hearing anything that we're discussing that is, it maybe you're feeling like, wow, it's a little overwhelming or it's a little over my head, don't hesitate to call. We both do consultations. We will do consultations with clients. We can
absolutely
follow up.
Free complimentary consultations to get you started.
Just mention the radio show.
Mention the radio show. And, you know, I don't mind having a great conversation because even if it can turn into a coaching session, and even if we don't work together, we're going to give you actionable things that you can do today to make your business better. Because what we want is we're both you and I can agree that we both want relationships. We're not transactional type people. We just want relationships. We want to have a company of clients, a fraternity of clients that we work with. We make each other better, profitable,
right,
and spread the wealth around.
But we're in this together. Yep. You know, really, honestly, I don't think I've ever met a business owner that was really super maybe proprietary about their thoughts on business. Most of the business owners I come across, and we do a lot with SCORE. Mm-hmm. We mentor business owners and we both work with
we both do.
Yeah, we work with a lot of people. So we have an opportunity to interact, and it's not just on a client, attorney relationship. A lot of times it's just business owner to business owner. We get ideas from other people and things that we all see things so differently. And so somebody sees a scenario or they do something a little bit differently. And I think the best and most well-rounded business owners are those who keep their eyes open and are poised and postured as a student all the time, always looking, always listening. So again, if there's anything that is talked about on the show, don't hesitate to give us a call. We learn from our business clients as well.
And there is an incredible amount of synergy in the clients that you and me work with together. We become added value advisors to the clients that we work with because we both think, you and me think alike, and this is the reason why this show works so well. It's because we think alike. We happen to be business owners first that have different areas of expertise and practice,
right,
not the other way around. As I said before, you are a business person who happens to be an attorney, which is a great it doesn't come easy because you're able to relate to the entrepreneur. You're able to relate, and we're both able to relate because we know the aches. We know what it's like to sweat a payroll. What it's like to, you know, trying to pay the liability insurance. We know what it's like not to have collect on AR or being able to delay AP or what contract to sign, when to lease, do I go 3 years?
You sign the contract and then you don't realize that there's that two sentences buried deep in there that you overlooked.
That you wish you would have signed and you get an attorney to look at?
Yeah, yes, because you trusted the person who was putting the contract in front of you and you just, this is really good. One of the things I see all the time, and it's happened to me multiple times over the years, been so excited about a new venture I'm getting involved with, and everything is, let's do it. And we go too fast and we don't slow down. Oftentimes trust when we shouldn't trust. So, been there and done that.
So, okay. So number one, financial forecasting. We already spoke about that. Okay. Resources, forecasting, staff and technology is what I had. Here's one way to look at this. We all business owners should pause and reflect. You have this unique situation in which most of us, our biggest expense is going to be payroll.
That's correct.
Staffing.
That's correct.
So either they're going to be a human asset or they're going to be a human liability.
Okay.
And a lot of it has to do with how the business owner treats their employees and how they, I have been an employee and I am an employer.
Right.
So I know what it's like when I am being listened to, nourished, empowered, and allowed to grow.
Right.
And you want to have those people around. And I think I've seen it where I felt disengaged and disempowered and disenfranchised. Where I felt like I was just a number. And I know what it's like to be an employee. So I have heard business owners talked about their employees. Oh, gosh, to tell you this loser and in demeaning terms, and it almost seems like there's just a number,
right?
Do the job or else, right? And I've seen it the other way when they're like, when the employer is so generous that the employee takes advantage of that, and it's, how do you strike a balance? The point is that resource forecasting, if you're thinking about, and absolutely this show is about business forecasting, you gotta have a budget. No engagement I get involved in is without a looking forward idea, where we're going into the future. What is that going to look like? And how are we going to manage? Remember, if you don't have a goal, any goal will do. If you don't have a target, any target will do. You got to come up with a target to hit.
Right.
Right. So inevitably, hiring, staffing, it's a key thing. And you got to be able to look at it. How are you going to be able to model them? So, because you got to be fiscally responsible. Adding people for the sake of adding people is no different than throwing people at the problem. And what I've seen a lot of business owners do, that they get into a panic mode and, let's just hire all these people and then let's just let go of these people. It's like this yo-yo. You don't want to add and then take away at a whim because you get this reputation in the market. But how do you do it?
Well, not only that, I'll tell you, particularly for our industry, we work closely together. We work in an office environment. We're all in the office environment. And we have to be very careful. I know in my group, when we add somebody or remove somebody, because it does change the dynamic that's going on in the office. And so we are so cautious when we bring a new person in, largely because we have such a great dynamic already. We're all very much a type A personality, and we're like a big group of type A people, very, very driven. And we all recognize that we're type A and we're driven. And so we are able to give each other the grace of being
good point.
Type A and driven. But so it does matter when you bring somebody in. If we brought somebody into our staff that was not as driven, and that's kind of a personal thing. You either are or you aren't. You can't really fake it. If we were to bring somebody in that was not as driven, it would upset the apple cart tremendously, because then other people are picking up, are picking up the slack. So if we have somebody who's a little less driven, so not only from a financial perspective, if you have your, just say for example, your employees, you know, your staff, if 1 minute you're high, 1 minute you're low, and we're not leveling out, I think that you really bring along a lot. And then you have somebody disgruntled, and who's the most, what's the most risky employee is the disgruntled employee.
The unhappy, for whatever reason.
There's your variable.
That's your variable. Very, very, very true. So resource planning, and this is all an industry built around enterprise resource planning, what we call ERP, in which we're looking at all this. You know, you can use technology to be able to look into, you know, your resource forecasting and figure out whether you when you're going to need to purchase cap. You know, if you're in an industry that is heavy on capital expenditures, now you buy assets. And you know what we talked about this conceptually. You know, we love certain industries. You know, the equipment rental industry. And you
wow,
know,
love it.
You know, we both have. I just love them. So you buy this piece of equipment, get this that gets depreciated over time, and say you spend $10,000, but every year you're gonna make $5,000 in this piece of equipment if you do your job right. It's a very, very profitable business, especially if the life cycle of the life of the asset can, you know, far exceed what you're actually paying for it. So those, but that takes some careful planning on being able to bet on that whatever you're going to purchase, if it is a capital expenditure, is going to make a return on investment. It's all about not just the repay, being able to pay whatever you borrow. If you actually financed it, you know, if the usable life and the potential income far exceeds what you pay for it, and notwithstanding the depreciation, then you have that takes some careful thought.
Right.
And I wouldn't go at it without the additional help. Whether you get somebody who works with you, hire people that know what they do, or if you don't have them in-house, outsource it. You can't really be too, you get what you pay for, let's just say.
Okay.
And so last but not least, this industry forecasting, it's, you know, I have here, Cash, can you imagine what it was like being the CEO of Blockbuster Video back in the day, and you had an opportunity to buy Netflix?
Yeah.
And you didn't.
And you didn't. And you said, no way.
Gosh, I don't know. You know, we're doing so well with our rentals, and, you know, the profit is so double digit. And, gosh, this little fledgling company coming out, you know, some potential. I don't see this happening. We're going to pass.
Yeah.
Is this guy alive?
I mean, yeah.
So, but then you look at that, and that is the title of the show. Why business forecasting is not just a good idea anymore. It's critical. Now that industry is gone, right? I have. Do you see this thing that I, you know, the, I so I in my show notes I have this picture of. If you're listening, I'm going to date you. If you're probably, you know, were raised in, you know, teenager in the 80s, and you remember the Maxwell MTV, you know, those, the ad and the guy sitting in front of the TV, and then the music so loud that it blows your hair back.
Right.
The Maxwell guy, right?
Right.
Well,
Maxwell.
I have Maxwell is the name of the company.
Oh, is that? I thought it was
Maxwell. Yeah, I know it was Maxwell.
Tapes.
And that's kind of how I,
tapes, right?
That's, they, yeah, that's how tapes. I looked it up as Maxwell, but it's actually Maxwell.
Funny.
Anyway, it's gone. Now the company had to reinvent themselves, and I don't know whether it went out of business, but do you have any tapes around? Do you have any cassette tapes? No, I don't. Neither do you. Do you?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Anyway, hey, listen, we got to go to break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to finish the show. Business and Legal Talk, Leo Claudine. Stay tuned.
All right, we are back with Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine. Thank you very much.
Come on.
Leo's throwing me out there on Front Street. Love it. Last minute. Hey, we can tap dance.
That's how I knew I could bring you.
We can tap dance.
So, hey, you did a great job, Claudine.
Well, thank you.
You know, we all have different skills.
We do.
I'm loud and obnoxious, and you're the smart one.
Oh, yeah. You're hilarious.
So, hey, you know, what a fun show, and we always run out of time, but so why business forecasting is not just a good idea, but critical to the success of your business. Why?
because the world is changing.
Oh, the world,
faster than you can keep up with.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The world's changing. Your community's changing. Your, I mean, on the macro and the micro.
Right.
There's no way around it. It is changing, and it's a lot of it, I think, is internet and technology driven, but it is changing. And, you know, if you can keep up with it on an 80% trajectory, you're doing very, very well. I think 40%, you're probably hanging in there.
Yeah. So,
what are the things in the business that you know you can predict?
Okay.
There's certain things we cannot predict. And it is also obviously also industry specific. So there's certain industries. So for example, if you own an amusement park in California, you can predict that June, July, August are going to
be busy months.
Busy months, and right. You know, December and January are probably going to be slow. So to some extent, you can predict that. But so I think every business has things that it can predict. How do you identify those things, and what things are things that you must predict? Overhead?
I think, you know, okay, so you bring up this interesting thing, and I'm
kind of the how-to person. Like, I want to be able to take what you're saying and then actually implement.
Okay, so I'm looking at a profit and loss. So that's really the document that you look at for profitability every month. So you have two types of costs in your business. You have, if you're dealing with anything that you have to expense out, that you actually inventory management, anything that it's you require to produce a job or sell a service, mm-hmm. and that is variable. It's variable, and the key thing about something being variable versus fixed is it goes up with revenue or comes down with revenue. So if it goes up with revenue and you need it for revenue production, that is a variable cost. So the things that you can predict is your operating expense is fairly fixed.
Right.
So your rent will not change very much. If you have signed a 3-year lease, I can tell you what your rent is going to be 3 years from now, right? All the way up to the next 36 months.
Right.
You can predict that expense. You can predict, I mean, if you hire nobody and nobody leaves you and you have a fixed amount of dollars that you have to spend per payroll, that won't change unless you change it, unless somebody leaves you or hires somebody. For the most part, your general, you know, it's called G&A, your general and administrative expense, stays fairly flat year over year. And you profit from, you know, I'm going to put it right here.
So I think that's important that you, when you say general and administrative expense, because virtually every business has it. And, you know, last week we talked about construction industry. And I think that's an expense that particularly that industry forgets to calculate into, you know, what we need to survive in terms of cash flow. My business, it's obviously a little bit easier to keep that on top of mind because, you know, we're obviously an office business. But, that is an area that I think you're correct that it does stay relatively flat until you add staff.
So the good thing about, so as you're asking me and as I'm thinking through this, you cannot predict what the industry is going to do. You can only stay ahead of it enough to react long before things happen.
Or short-term reaction. If you're on top of the ball, and it rolls left, and you can tap dance, then you're okay.
True. The bigger that you are, the harder it is to change.
Right, correct.
So the great thing about when you have industries that are rapidly changing, the bigger businesses are the last ones to change, usually the ones that fall by the wayside.
Right.
It's the nimble, the startups, the ones that are able to switch on a dime. Those are the ones that are able to actually capitalize on industry changes. But so from a financial forecasting, you know, if I had every business my way, I would want to figure out what is the revenue that I can predict for the next 12 months, regardless of whatever industry you're in. Even if you're in an industry, like say you are a chiropractor, right? You can only look at 2-3 weeks worth of appointments, but then you look at your history, right? Is your business seasonal? Does it go up and down throughout the year, right? And no matter if you're selling flowers, if you're a chiropractor, we already spent quite a bit of time talking about the construction industry that goes through cycles. But if you're a dentist, if you any white collar attorneys, there's got to be some trending that you can discern from prior performance history, right? Unless you're a startup. If you're in the restaurant business, you know that there is some seasonality to it. You know, there are peaks and valleys. You want to be able to anticipate those on paper into a budget. And then you manage to the variance of the budget. So that is an exercise. It's a financial exercise that I have my clients do. So that takes care of the... So number one and number two can be taken care of once you go through that exercise. So at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you start looking at, assuming that your fiscal year is your calendar year, we should be looking at next year now, around September, October. So to see what it's going to look like. And then you can manage every month starting in January. And see how we did. It's basically looking into your crystal ball. It says, if I hit all my estimates, if I convert all my estimates to actual jobs, and we start progressive, you know, doing the billing and whatever we're going to do, are we going to be able to have enough revenue over the expenses that we expect to generate?
Right.
Those resource forecasting and financial forecasting are relatively together. Industry forecasting, I recommend that you do a SWOT analysis, you know, strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Okay, go through that really slow. A SWOT analysis.
SWOT.
Right.
So it stands for, this is an exercise that it's a management, it's an opportunity exercise, it's a management company. You know, anybody in management would have to go through this. It stands strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Strengths. If something is going on, you know, and you, like for instance, your business, what are the strengths of your business? If I came in for the first time and I analyze your company, I look at what is good about your law firm?
Okay.
What are the strengths? What are we known for? What is our core expertise? What are we good at?
Core competencies.
Core competencies. What are you known for in the market? What do people come to you for? Where do they find you? Strengths, maybe your you might have strong finances. You might have strong marketing. You might have strong people. You might have these great human assets, you know, your paralegals, your attorneys. What are the strengths, right? And go through all of them. But then you inevitably will have weaknesses. What are you weak at? Right, the delivery, your tracking, they might have accounting weaknesses for any business. What are the areas of concern? Risk and risk mitigation. Do you have enough insurance? If you deal with injuries, you know, in mod race and workers' comp, if you're in a trades industry, it could put you out of business.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and different industries are going to have all those risks.
Things.
So if you're a contractor and you have employees driving up and down the highway to go to different job sites, that right there is its own unique risk.
So, you know, if you're looking at putting this great SWOT, right? So then you go to your opportunities. So your opportunity says innovation happens as a result of upcoming threats, right?
Correct.
So you're looking at, if you're shrewd enough, you're going to say, hey, why I love this country so much, the United States of America, that allows you to actually create something out of nothing. So, something happened, you know, dealing with this whole immigration matter that, you know, it was in the news a few months ago, and just this whole thing about having kids basically in this overcrowded facilities, and then everybody was overwhelmed, the whole system was overwhelmed. So somebody came up with the opportunity, hey, you know, I got all this extra space. Let me negotiate with the government so we can actually take care of these people.
Right.
And that was an opportunity.
Right.
Somebody saw this threat, right, turn it into an opportunity. It's the heart of entrepreneurship.
Well, it truly is, I think, the heart of entrepreneurship. The necessity is the mother of inventions. As soon as you have a need. And
somebody will rise up.
Predict the need.
Correct. So, but. Now you got the threats, right? And you got to be really taking a sober look at your industry, right? Look at, with even internally, what threats. And remember what we talked about, employees could be your greatest asset or your greatest liability. Do you have anyone internal who doesn't believe what you believe? The goals and visions and the dreams that you have sometimes may come off alignment, and somebody no longer shares your values,
right,
and the core values. Right. You know, there are companies that are widely known for their core values. Patagonia is an example, right? Subaru, automobiles, that they have these clear mantra. Either, you know, either you're going to be all for them or against them.
No, and that, there is quite a bit, I'm noticing, of discussion on the large corporate level that, you know, we have been so focused on quarterly earnings,
right,
on the big corporate level,
yeah,
that we have kind of walked away from doing and making decisions that are good for the company, the employees, and so forth. And we've had this very, very short-term vision.
Myopic.
Yeah, what is right, good for the quarterly reports. And we are starting to see some trends moving away from that, where people are,
yeah,
accepting the quarterlies may not be as fantastic as they could be, but because we are saving that for the longevity and the long run of the company.
I think, you know, I think it's been known for a while that living quarter to quarter is dangerous, right? It's myopic, it's short-sighted.
Right.
Especially if you have a really grand vision for where things go, but you got to be able to stick to your guns. So those threats, internally or externally, they have to be assessed. So back to, you know, you got your SWOT analysis, your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. And you got to, so just to recap, so you got to do the, forecasting has three components. It has your financial, you know, it has your resource, and you have your industry. All of them, you have to, and it's a good, you know, there are plenty of groups out there that I think somebody needs to tell you the truth outside of your company as a business owner, because chances are you're not going to hear from your employees, right? And if you're a discerning CEO and you're looking for outside, it behooves you to be in a networking group of people that think like you.
Right.
So that's just, you know, I'm going to throw that out there, because I think iron sharpens iron, and those who think like you can help you.
Right. Back to, you know, networking with other business owners and
networking
people,
with other business owners.
Because it does. It iron sharpens iron. That's a really great, really great.
And you need to have people who think alike. So, all right. So just to recap, has this been helpful to you? You're a business owner. You need perspective. You need to be able to look into the crystal ball and figure out where you're going to be, not just you, your peers, your competition, your industry,
right,
the economy. You can't just really bury your head in the sand as a business owner and think, well, I'm doing very, very well in my industry and I'm making double-digit profit. You look at, I'm going to make 30 cents for every dollar this year, and then forget that something is about to happen that is going to fall, you're going to fall off a cliff next year. You got to be looking at everything.
Well, it really is a challenge. And I would throw this challenge out there to the business owners that are listening, is to take time this upcoming week and take the 40,000-foot elevation view. We are oftentimes, because we are so busy and we're so caught up in meeting the day-to-day, moment-by-moment needs of our businesses, that we oftentimes go 4, 5, 6, 8 months before we stop and look at the 40,000-foot elevation and try to see the business from a higher level that gives you a wider view, a view of the industry, a view of, you know, your overall staff, a view of your overhead, a view of, you know, your accounts receivable, and see the whole picture. And I think that is a great challenge to leave folks with coming into this next week.
Well, hope this was actionable. Hope this was helpful. Please look us up. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear your thoughts out there. And it's been a great week. I'm wishing you all a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you next week. This has been Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. Talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Like the legend of the